Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. The word of truth that you are about to hear is from Apostle Will T. Washington. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website at 3cla.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved under God, Yahweh, a workman, needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
In Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen. Amen. We just want to thank those that are joining us on the internet, streaming in Spanish and in English. Thank you all for joining us. Hopefully, we will be a blessing to you here today. I embarked on this subject because the Holy Spirit led me to do this, that, you know, a lot of times we have trouble discerning truth. And the Holy Spirit, of course, is here to guide us into all truth. And so he told me to take the tabernacle, because the tabernacle is the gospel in word picture. Let me know what word picture is. It's a picture, but it has some real meaning to it. So the gospel or the Mishkan, which is the dwelling place, the dwelling place of Yahweh here on the earth among his people. So is Deacon Hill here today? Tell him he need to bring me his pointer. If not, he need to stand up here and point with his finger, because he didn't. So the children of Israel left Mizraim, you call it Egypt, in approximately 1446 B.C. Everybody know who know what B.C. means? Before what? In 1446 B.C. Thank you. Where we put the tabernacle up. And when they left Mizraim, Yahweh gave them a plan. A plan which they thought was specifically just for their worship. They failed to realize what Yahweh gave them was the plan of salvation that was to come, that had not yet came. Now I want you to give me that, the tabernacle, the raw tabernacle, just that alone. And so 3,400 and 64 years ago, and as a rounded figure, we could say 3,500 years ago, Yahweh preached the gospel through this Mishkan, through the tabernacle, the dwelling place. So there's several things I want to point out to you that we have pointed out before. Is that there is but what? And that's my subject, one way to God. So one thing that is quite apparent here, he wanted everybody to know there was not different ways to Yahweh. There was only one way, and you had to come in at the door. And so Yeshua said, if you climb up any other way, he was talking about going over this fence here, you was a robber and a thief And of course, you were subject to death. So there's one way to God. And for your information, we entered here last week at the door, at the gate. But when this tabernacle was built, it didn't start here building, but Yahweh started there in the most holy place, having them build that first. Because the message is, God extended the plan of salvation down to earth for men and women. And so he asked him to build this first and extend it out to here. Now last week, we were here at the brazen altar, at the altar of burnt offering. And so let's bring that up. We had made it through the gate. Here, we heard the gospel. We were invited in and we came in, and the first thing we saw was the offering of burnt, the altar of burnt offering, or we call it the brazen altar. It looked so pretty, but that's not how it really looked once the sacrifices was made. Every day, hour after hour, day after day, sacrifices was killed and burnt up on this altar. Now, one thing I told you is that what Yahweh was displaying to us was how exceeding sin is in his knowledge, in his presence. And this altar represented the cross, the place of dying. And the Bible said there was never a man that was beaten as Yeshua was before that cross. It said he didn't even look like a human being when they hung him there. Now remember, this is a plan. It is not the actual cross as you can see. This was to demonstrate that when you come to God, you must come through a sacrifice that is acceptable to him. And every sacrifice is not acceptable. And so I want us to turn, if we would, to First Kepha. You will call that what? All right, I want you to just know all these things, because I know I tell you to do some things and it doesn't seem to make sense that I want to go to that, but I want you to know the truth. His name was not Peter. His name was Kepha. K-E-F-A, Kepha. He was a Hebrew and he had a Hebrew name. So this altar represents the cross. And I said last week, when you come to this altar, we can just leave it where it is, that altar that I showed you, you must spend some time there. Because if you don't get it, if it's not imprinted in your spirit, the suffering that happened there, you should go back out the gate because you're not ready. If you don't get the imprinting of the suffering that was done there for you, you won't last in what we call the church. In fact, you never made it in yet. If you're imprinted with the suffering, you would be very careful about your actions from here on in. And so Kepha is talking to Ephraim people, Yehudim people, which we erroneously called Jew. There can never be a Jew because there's no J in the Hebrew language. I keep making this, saying this over and over again so that you might get it. Jew is a manufactured name. They were called Ephraim, and the Ephraim simply mean those who crossed over. Those who came over from Mizraim, or Egypt, headed to the promised land. Yehudim, because that was the name of the tribe of Yehuda, who was the tribe of David. Now, every Hebrew, I would dare say boy, especially boy, and maybe girl, knew about this Mishkan, the tabernacle. They knew about the gate. They knew about the burnt offering. And so when Shaul is talking to them, he's talking to people who has some idea what he's talking about. So remember that as we read 1:18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible thing as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father. He said, you know. Let's go back to the tabernacle. It's okay. You know that you were not redeemed by this brass or this gold or this silver. You practiced this, but now you're in a position to know that this wasn't the real deal, but the real deal was to come. This only represented something. And so he says, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Mashiach, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Hallelujah. Now watch this. Who verily was what? Foreordained before the foundation of the world. Said Yahweh had the gospel preached in some manner before the foundation of the world. How did he know that? Because he foreknows all. And he knew Adam would fail. And so he already slew a lamb. He already planned the sacrifice for Adam. See, what a mighty God we serve. He said, now you know, let's go back to the tabernacle. The whole, tabernacle itself. He said, you know, this was not what redeemed you. This was the plan, not being executed. But the plan had to be executed. This was the plan of salvation. So the Bible says in, I believe, Yeshayahu 3:35, it said that the way was so plain. See, there would be a way there. It would be called the way of holiness. And it was so plain that a fool would not err in the way. There is no reason we have Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic. God has already laid the plan, and the plan says one way. Now the only problem is who got the way. Am I right? If there's one way, who is the one that is teaching the way? Now, here's what he says. Now, you know you were not redeemed by this, but by the precious blood of Mashiach as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained, pronosco, known before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. This was the plan. But the manifestation of the plan didn't take place until Yeshua executed the plan. Look at your name, say, neighbor, Yeshua executed the plan. He died on that altar, which we call the cross. The plan was executed. He said to the Hebrews, he said, I know you know about this altar. You know about this tabernacle. But you also know that this wasn't what saved you. This was the plan. But what saved you was the precious blood of Yeshua. And that this plan was laid down in some manner before the foundation of the world. Even before here in smoke. In Beroshet, which we call Genesis, Yahweh, when they were about to be delivered out of the land of Mizraim, said to them, I want you to take a lamb and I want you to put him up and I want you to keep him for so many, 14 days. Then I want you to kill that lamb. Then I want you to take the blood of that lamb and I want you to put it on the flaps of your door of your house. I know it's that doorpost, but those people weren't living in houses like we live in. They were living in tents. So the flap that opened, you put the blood there. And when I see the blood, I'll pasa. I'll leap over you. So pasa have the idea of leaping back and forth. So he said, when I see the blood, I'll leap over you. That was the gospel being preached even then. That it took the blood of the lamb to deliver them out of the land of Mizraim. And if you didn't have the blood on your flap of your doors, your firstborn died that night. So he says, but you know, this is simply the plan, the blueprint. Who goes around wearing a blueprint? Huh? Nobody. The blueprint is for you to look at it and then execute the blueprint by building that is on the print. If I get too deep for you, and I'm not saying I'm deep, but some folk can't stand deep water. Because they don't know how to swim. Hallelujah. So I'm not saying I'm that deep, but sometimes the water can get deep. And so he said, hear me out. I want you to go out in the water. Say the water gonna come to your ankle. Then the water gonna come to your knee. Then the water gonna come to your thigh. That's why you're gonna have water, but you gotta learn how to swim. You're gonna have water to swim in. So it gets deep sometimes. And see, when things get deep, folks look for an out. But was manifested in these last times. Here at this altar of the cross, something should happen. As you stand at the cross or at this altar which represents the cross, something should happen to you. And if it doesn't happen, you got a problem. We got a lot of folks, a lot of big building that has up on it church. But they are no more saved. Than a monkey swinging from the tree in Africa. I just listen and I'll tell you. We got those who one of the biggest organizations in the world called the Evangelical Christian Conservatives. And yet they worship at the feet of Trump and say that's God. They haven't spent any time here. If they spent some time here, something would have happened to them that would cause them never to worship a political party. Now, at the cross, listen to what Kephas says should happen. Whom having not seen, you got that? Whom having not seen, you love. At the altar, at the cross, this is where you fall in love with Yeshua. Huh? And though you've never seen him, the imprint of his suffering for you causes you to fall in love with him. And when you love him, you'll do whatever he asks you to do. Huh? He said, whom having not seen, you love. When I first heard the gospel, and I was sitting in seats like you all, sitting not so nice, a vision opened up to me as I rose, well, just before I rose from my seat to come down to the altar, because the man was preaching Yeshua dying on the cross. Now, he was using the name of Jesus. But the cross is the way to salvation. So a vision opened up and I saw him on the cross. Not in a name, he never gave me the name, just the man on the cross. And immediately the Holy Spirit said to me, he died for your sin. And I got this understanding that this was personal. You know, we talk about him dying for the sins of the world, but you got to get this thing in you that he died specifically for your sin. For your sin. Look at your neighbor. The neighbor, he died for my sin. Look, I don't know about you, because I don't know where you're coming from. But I know one thing. It was my sin that hung him on the cross. And now it becomes personal. I don't worry about how you act, or whether you stay saved or not, or whether you live for God or not. It's all about my sins and what he did for me. So you can cut up all you want to. You can act up all you want to. You can sin all you want to. But I'm not going to do it because he did this for me. It's between him and I. Thank you. Between him and I. Had nothing to do with you. And if you didn't get this when you stood at the cross, how can you love him? Kephas said, you haven't seen him, but you love him. How can you love him if you didn't get the impact of what he did for you? You can't. whom having not seen you love, in whom though you see him not, you believe. I don't need any other proof than the proof of the gospel that Yeshua died for me. And when I saw him there, I fell in love with him because he suffered for me. And I believed. And I believed. And though I had not seen him personally in the flesh, I believed. And you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We have to get out of this idea that we got to have friends, and we let our friends drag us into their beliefs, into their stuff. I've never had any friends like that. Once a friend leaves this, he leaves me. He's not my friend no more, because I love the one who died on the cross for me. I believe in the one who died on the cross for me. And even though I didn't know his name particularly, I loved him. And when I found out his name, I rejoiced with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Receiving the ends of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. If you didn't fall in love there, if you didn't see the suffering, if you didn't understand what was really done there, you're not saved. Even though you say, I received it. See, we got this idea. What do you have to do to be saved? All you have to do is receive him. Do you receive him as your personal Savior? Yeah. Well, then now you're saved. Oh, thank you. No. That's why you worship at the feet of Bush, or not Bush, I mean Trump. And why you worship in Republican Party or Democratic Party or some of them. Stuff you're worshiping. But when you actually love him, you'll only worship him. Of which salvation, now listen to this, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. They didn't know what they were doing. They knew that something was going on, but they didn't know what. And they searched diligently, and they built the tabernacle. God said to them, he said to Moshe, I want you to build it exactly like I told you. You don't add anything, take away anything. You build it like I told you. Because the way needs to be so plain that a fool will not err in the way. You say, are you saying that all these people err? Yeah. Because they say there's more than one way. That's an error. Let's go back to the tabernacle. Only one way. There's no doors on the side of this tabernacle. That's just one door. And you know where they had it? They had it here. There is the most holy place, the holiest of holies, they call it. That represents heaven. So they started their journey here toward heaven. Amen. You got it? They want to wind up here at the mercy seat of God. They prophesied of the grace that was to come. Now watch this. Searching what? That's the 11th verse. Searching for what or what manner of time the spirit of Mashiach, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the suffering of Mashiach and the glory that should follow. So all of this, the brazen altar, was the testimony of the suffering that must take place. And you, my brothers and sisters, must understand the suffering. Because if you don't, you'll place him right back on the cross by your life that you lead. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 1, 7. You know, my time is up. We did a lot today, but I was just happy to see Pastor. And so he took up some time, which is wonderful. So we can just have a little time. I'm just opening it up to you again. I'm not going to be able to finish this. Well, I'm not going to be able to finish this next week. Now, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians, 1st chapter, the 7th verse. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of what? Of what?
The suffering.
Of the suffering, so shall you be also of the consolation of the rewards that will come from that suffering. Now, if I'm reading this right, you have to become a partaker of the suffering. You have to be imprinted with how horrible the suffering was there on the cross. Some of us, Yahweh has taken us a little farther. And I will be writing another book. And I think the title of that book is going to be I Was Hearing the Voice of Yahweh. Because when you really give yourself to God, wonderful, miraculous things happen. And I'm not talking about getting houses and getting land, but spiritual things happen in your life. I'm praying the prayer I was when I was as a young minister. I just want to know him. I want to know him in the power of his resurrection, but also in the fellowship of his suffering. On my knees, day and night. I was a contractor doing work for people. So I go to this sister's house, and I told her before, but it's worth telling again, because it says we must become a partaker of his suffering. And so I was there early. So as my custom was, down on my knees whenever I had time. And I was praying, and finally I found myself stretched out on the floor praying. And all of a sudden, something pierced my side. And this hot pain hit me. And immediately through that agony, I knew what it was. The Holy Ghost revealed to me. You wanted to see his suffering. You felt the spear that pierced his side. And though I cried out in agony, I understood the agony of the suffering of my Savior. So he didn't have to worry about me. I'm convinced. And I've been convinced nearly 50 years. You see, when you have these experiences, when you believe, when you are really committed, when you want to know him, he does things for you that will keep you in the time of temptation. You all might look at me and you say, well, he ain't never been tested. Oh, I've been tempted. God knows I've been tempted to the nth degree. And the probably the greatest temptation in the world is men and women. Would you agree? Huh? Some of you can live for God if it wasn't for a woman. Or if it wasn't for a man. But when you hear that voice over the phone, hello, can I come over tonight? You can't say no. Or you hear that voice say, are you coming by this evening? You can't say no. You understand? So I know. Years ago, I had a sister. You know when folks like you, don't you? Don't you all know that? And I knew she did. But I wasn't in that. And so she said, come over and pray for my house. Somebody broke in. Well, of course I'm going to go pray. That's my job. But I know the dangers that await me. And so I said to my wife, I said, come go with me. She said, you want me to go? I said, yeah. I need you to go with me. So I walked up to the door and I knocked. Pop, pop, pop. And she came to the door and she had her gown on, her robe. And she saw my wife and she screamed. Oh! My wife said, that's okay, baby. That's okay, honey. We went in, she had the bed was in her living room, and the covers were turned down. The bed was made up. The covers were turned down. A fire was burning in the fireplace, and she had two cups of tea on the side of her. Now, look, I'm just trying to say, if you're not in this, if you don't know this, if you have not been part of his suffering, if you don't love him, there's no way. There's no way. There's no way to make it. Let's go back to the altar. And I did this last week, but I got to do it again. It's time to leave here and move on toward heaven. We have seen the sacrifice. We have been imprinted with the suffering. We love him, the one who died there. But you're not saved yet. You're not finished yet. 1 Johannes 5:5. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Yeshua is the son of Yahweh? This is he that came by water and blood, even Yeshua Mashiach, not by water only, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit that bear witness, because the Spirit is truth. You're at the altar, but you only saw the sacrifice, the blood. But this comes by water and blood. Now, in Johannes 19:32-34, which we read to you last week, when that soldier approached Yeshua, because the next day was a day of preparation for the Sabbath, and they wanted to get these men off the cross, these two thieves and Yeshua. And the custom was, if you want to get them down, you go and break their legs. And when you break their leg, they're hanging there like this. And when they slump down, their inner parts suffocate them. And so they broke the legs of the two thieves, and they sunk down. But he said when they came to Yeshua, he was already dead. But the soldier did something unusual. The soldier did something that he was not supposed to do. He pierced his side with his spear. And the Bible said, out came blood and water at the base of the cross. Now we found that when the sacrifice was made at the altar, they would take the blood, the priest, and he would pour it at the base of the altar. Yeshua's blood was poured at the base of the cross. But there was something else. There was blood and water. Because it is not by blood only, but by blood and water. Now let's go to the next example, which is the brazen laver. Here we are. Notice there are two cups. There's one on the bottom and one on the top. They cannot be separated. The word laver is kayor in the Hebrew. And it's only talking about a pot or vase, basin with two compartments. And the reason I bring it up, you'll see other labors that's only one compartment. By the definition of kayor, it must be two compartments. And there is a reason for that. Now, we know the bottom, the bottom compartment was for water baptism. So let's look at smoked. You will call that Exodus 30. Verse 18. This is the instructions from Yahweh to Moshe. Thou shalt also make me a laver, a kayor, a basin that consists of two compartments, of brass, and his foot also of brass. And when he says his foot of brass, let's go back to the laver. I'm so glad I got some good people up there. They know how to flip around. That's the foot. Of brass. Okay, we can go back. And the foot also of brass to wash withal. Now I want you to notice, let's go back to the tabernacle. I want you to notice you're not in here yet. You were just going toward it. You can't skip this. And I'll show you why. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle and the brazen altar. Is that what I said? Between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. Other word, tabernacle, laver, and the altar. And thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his son shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water that they die not. So the penalty for not washing was death. You can't skip baptism. I know if you say, well, baptism don't mean I just get wet with water. Oh, no. We'll talk a little bit more extensively, not today, because we don't have the time. It's 1:35 now, and I got about 35 more minutes, so. I'm just. They shall wash with water, and they die not. Or when they come near the altar to minister to burnt offering, to burnt offering made by fire unto Yahweh. Now, the whole idea, you're going to wash here when you're coming in, and you're going to wash here when you're going that way. So they shall wash their hands and their feet that they die not, and it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and his seed throughout all generations. So, go back to the labor. Here they wash their hands and their feet. This is symbolic of Holy Ghost baptism. And I'll just read this one scripture and then we'll end it. Yohanan 3:3. You call him John. Look, my brothers and sisters, if you'll stay with me through this whole thing and go with me to heaven, I mean through the tabernacle, you'll learn more than you would ever know. Yeshua answered. Let me put it in perspective. There was a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Yeshua by night because he was part of the Sanhedrin. And so he couldn't afford to be seen with Yeshua because they were against Yeshua, because Yeshua had a different message. You know how people hate you because you got a different message? Preachers and people have disliked me all of my saved life because I failed to compromise to their messages. I won't do something just because it'll please somebody. I'm not here to please anybody. I'm here to do the will of Yahweh. That's my only job. Yeah, I could have a lot of money today. I could have a whole lot of stuff. I could have a big house on the hill if I was willing to compromise. But I'm not willing to compromise. And I don't regret not having a house on the hill. I don't regret not having a lot of money. Because you can't take it with you when you go. Hallelujah. And there's folks that got a lot of money and got a lot of houses. And they are unhappy today. Some of them even commit suicide. And they got all that money. And you think, boy, if I had that money, I wouldn't be committing suicide. You don't know that. You don't know that. Money does not bring peace. Money does not bring satisfaction. Money does not give you hope when all hope is gone. Now, don't get me wrong. If you bought me some money, I'll take it. But that's not the key. If you bought me some money, say, here's some money, teach something else, I'd say, no, take your money. I don't need that. So Nicodemus came to Yeshua, and he was inquiring Yeshua, and he's complimenting Yeshua. You know how a lot of people love compliments? He said, I know you are sent from God. Because no man could do what you do except God be with him. You know, most preachers say, ha, 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 thank you. Thank you. But this is what Yeshua said to him. Yeshua answered and said unto him, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I know you are a prophet. I know you are sent from God. No man can do what you do except God be with him. Yeshua said, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again. See, your compliment is not going to get you into heaven. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Yahweh. Now Nicodemus come with another little trick. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? That's a good question. I'd like to know that question. Can I get born? I'm old. Can I go back through this again? Start over again? Hallelujah. See, I remember the time when I could run up those steps there. I'd like to run up there again. But I know I'm liable to slip or not make the next step. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? That's a trick question. You know that's a trick question, right? Anybody know you can't enter a second time into your mother's womb? That's a trick question. Yeshua didn't try to correct him on the trick question. Listen to what he said. Yeshua answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. Now look, first time, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Now, except a man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. Isn't that what the labor is teaching us? That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. I'll go back to the labor. Except a man be born of the water and of the spirit. Well, you say, well, that's water up there. Next week, I'll explain to you how water can become spirit. But I don't have enough time today. And some of you will start tipping out on me if I tried it. So Father Yahweh, we come to you in the blessed name of Yeshua. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the word of Yahweh, which is able to save our souls. We thank you for the truth, that if we search, we will find the truth. Yes. And we will know exactly the way you intend for us to go. Most of all, I pray for these that hear my voice, that they would desire truth and truth only, that they might be those that are entering into the kingdom. Help us, Father. In the mighty name of Yeshua. Keep your head bowed. There may be someone here today. You're not.